Welcome to Ira's Everything Bagel, where I talk with intriguing people about everything, their passions, pursuits, and points of view. My guest today is Dave Remenick. He is an award-winning composer, educator, and musician whose creative journey has taken him from Chicago's post-punk rock music scene to the wonderfully unpredictable world of children's music. Many know Dave as a guitarist, singer, and songwriter for the band Paper Mice, but today we're talking about a different side of his art. It's the Dad Joke name, which he has used to create Fun Intended. It's a debut album for kids and families that he described as weird music for weird kids. It's imaginative, playful, filled with the kinds of humor and creativity that encourages kids and adults to embrace what makes them unique. We'll talk about music, creativity, parenting, and why being a little weird might be one of the best things you can be. Fun Intended is available on Amazon Music. And for everything about Dave, go to dadjokemusic.com, dadjokemusic.com. And Dave, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Why did you veer off the steady, very serious background of rock to get into the world of kids' music?
Well, it's interesting, actually. I was also composing concert music. So like, stuff for like string quartets and vocal music and chamber music and stuff like that. And when COVID hit, I had just gotten a pretty big commission for a viola solo. And I had at the time been writing a lot of music for people playing and singing their instruments, playing and singing at the same time. And so I started writing this piece, and I had the idea to write for the text of the piece to be all stories that my daughter, who was, I think, 4 or 5 at the time, stories that she had written. Mm-hmm. And so I got really involved in getting to know these stories that she had told me just in real time. I asked her to tell me a story, and she told me them. And I found that they were so interesting, and so like interesting in ways that weren't adult stories weren't interesting. It was very different from the way that an adult would write something. And it struck me how different children's minds are from ours, and how so often we praise them for doing things like adults do them, we don't necessarily appreciate the things that they do for just being the things that they are. And so I wrote this extended, like 30 to 35 minute solo piece using all of these stories that she had written. And at the same time, COVID shut down pretty much everything. And my career as a composer came to just like a grinding halt. And I had been writing little songs for her ever since she was a baby, but I started to kind of really enjoy making music with and for kids kind of more. And I found that the more seriously I took it, and the kind of more those songs reflected like the way that I like to write music, the better received they were. So I typically the songs I'd written for her were very simple and very basic, and I started writing more intricate things, and she kind of connected with them more, and we would share them with friends, and their kids would send me voice messages with them singing these songs. Like, This Is a Duck is an example. Like, it's a really complicated song, and I had like 5-year-old kids singing it precisely, like perfectly in rhythm. And I couldn't believe it. And so I said, well, I actually started to realize I was enjoying making music for kids like significantly more than the composition track I was on.
Or the punk rock era that you were in.
I love that still. But it wasn't like I didn't necessarily leave that. Like I still play with my band. And like, that's not something I left. This is something I kind of just did, in tandem with that.
But
exactly. And I'm not opposed to writing concert music again, but like this really, I found that I have like a real passion for it, and it's so many times in my life I have to kind of tamp down my inner weirdness and inner silliness, and I have to just like write something that I know grownups are going to like. But right. I'm realizing more and more that the things that I find funny and the things that I want to write and the things that I want to kind of dig into really align with kids. And I also around the same time, a little bit later, left academia. I'd been teaching in universities and stuff like that, and started teaching private lessons with kids and adults, but mainly kids. And I adore kids. I adore working with them and writing music for them. And so I just really kind of went all in on the kids' music thing, and it's been a joy. Yeah.
So you used, as I understand now, based on what you just said, you used your daughter as a marketing research tool to see the song worked, and it did. And then she shared it with her friends, and then you knew you had something.
I mean, it wasn't, I didn't intentionally use her that way. I didn't realize, I didn't realize this was going to be a career or something I wanted to do seriously. It was just like, I was like, oh, this is, you know, actually, this is a duck. I actually had written, it wasn't This Is a Duck when it started. It was, I just started singing it while we were playing one time, and it wasn't This Is a Duck. It was, This Is a Toe. And I was going through all her toes. And then when I start screaming, This Is a Chicken, it used to be This Is a Belly, and I'd start tickling her. And, you know, it's like a really complicated rhythm for, you know, just playing with your kid. And I was like, I thought it was catchy, even though it was weird. And, you know, I was like, this could be something. And I was like, you know, what could it be? And then the duck idea came to me. And then she actually helped me make the video for it, to pick all the bird pictures and decide what was going to happen.
Yeah. So when it came out, did she share, or did you give her copies to give to her friends as well?
Well, no, when the song came out, it was just on YouTube. It wasn't on the album. Like I that was years ago, and it's finally coming out on the album, which just came out a week ago. Right. You know?
Are you going to give copies of those albums to one, to your daughter, and two, to her friends, because they were, in essence, the test subjects for your research?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Totally.
I want to get back to This Is a Duck in a second, but just some of the other titles that are in the album. It's We've Got the Squiggles as one of them. I Hope Nobody Drops a Big Rubber Horse on My Head. Whoa, there's some violence. Wakey Wake Up, I Heard a Bird, Because We're Friends, I'm Glad to Be With You Right Now. What Did the Dinosaurs Say? It's Almost Halloween. I'm Deciding to Be Brave. You Have to Go Potty Too. And I Tried to Use AI, but it came out weird. I like that last one. That sounds very intellectually stimulating.
That was a song where actually, so it's a very anti-AI song. It's anti-AI in the arts. But the song, the genesis for that song was, I was like, you know, the AI art thing had like just come out, and I was like really curious about what it was. And so I sat down with my daughter, and we started just typing in things for it to spit back at us.
Right.
You know, so we're just like, what do we want to see? And we just typed in like, you know, funny images and funny things that we had in our minds, and nothing, like it all came out like weird. And then this, we asked it for a bunny riding on a horse. We might've actually said a really cute bunny riding on a horse, and it came out with a half rabbit, half horse, like centaur thing. And the rabbit's like dressed for battle and holding a knife. And we were just like, what is this? And I was like, this has to be a song. And so, you know, that was the impetus for the song. And I started, you know, kind of collecting all these weird images and writing music about it. And then the song just kind of took on a life of its own and became like a kind of an artistic statement, like a declaration against AI art, which I already felt, but
Well, yeah, but the trick with AI I've learned is you have to really be very specific in your query with it. So you probably should have said something along the lines of, don't include any weapons in the final image or something like that. And I think it might have got closer to what you wanted.
Well, I mean, I at the time I didn't know what I was just kind of like seeing what it would do. But like, you know, now that it's been out for a while, I realized that, you know, for people in the arts, people making visual art, people making music, you know, it's actively harmful to people's careers, and to, you know, they're feeding in people's intellectual property and generating stuff out of it. It's something I don't want to say I'm fearful of. I just kind of loathe, if that makes sense.
Well, you could also consider that it's transformative. So even though you're feeding in other people's material that could be copyrighted or trademarked, that it's creating something different and then transforming into a different content.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm arguing your side briefly, so you know, just so.
No, I mean, you're correct, and it is transforming it. I think the issue that I take two main issues with it, and not, stop me if this is getting too.
No, it's fine. I like the exchange.
Yeah, the first is that, and in my video, at one point, I appear on a talk show with the rubber horse that falls on my head in a different part of the album. But in the video, I'm on a talk show called Horsey Talk Tonight, and I'm arguing with the horse. And at the bottom, there's like the little screen where it's, you know, has a quote from the person who's on the show. And the quote keeps getting longer and longer and smaller and more compact. And one of the points I make in the quote, which is not, it didn't originate with me. I don't remember who came up with it on the internet, but they said, you know, AI gives the wealthy access to skill without giving the skilled access to wealth. And it really stuck with me that, like, yeah, here's a way for people to they're generating something from other people's property. They're you know, amalgamating it and spinning out something new. Right. But the people who actually created it aren't getting anything from it for it. And it's actually the people who are using it they're saving themselves the cost of actually employing human beings. So that's the one part. And the other part is, you know, in as much as, you know, well, like music, books, movies, art, like these are all human endeavors and they're expressing human emotions to be communicated to humans. And when AI kind of spits out an image, this is not communication between humans. It's a computer doing its best to make something that you asked for based on other humans' work. And there's no actual artistic message being communicated to you. It's just pure machine, you know, like amalgamating, if that's the right word, material and spitting it out to you.
Yeah, I think another way to look at it, it's almost, AI is almost the middleman between humans. Well, as a middleman, you know what a middleman is. In other words, if you're ordering something from somebody, they go to somebody else, they get it for you and bring it to you like a broker or a middleman. It's part of our economy to have middlemen. That's part of the function of the economy. And I think from a certain angle, AI is a middleman. For example, if I want something, I go to AI rather than go to a human to get it, but it comes from other humans. So it's acting as a non-human middleman. Maybe that's the way.
Well, I think for, like, you know, things like search queries and like ChatGPT and stuff like that, like, I think I get your point with that. With art and with music and things like that, I would tend to disagree, because for sure. You know, I think
what you're saying, and I'm glad we're having this conversation, because we need to have those kinds of conversations, and that may eventually have some legal ramifications in terms of protections for artists in that realm.
Yeah, I know. You know, one of my composition students that I teach, who's 16, a brilliant kid. And he's really concerned with it. He's actually concerned with, like, safeguarding his work from AI. He doesn't want it to be, he doesn't like the idea of having AI kind of like co-opting all of this music and like spinning it out. And he's actually, you know, I was kind of half joking, not really joking. What I've said to him, and I actually kind of take this seriously, is be ungovernable. Make your music something that nobody could ever do. Like, you know, no matter how much you spit into a computer, like you're, if your music is just like so purely you, I don't think the AI can actually, like, it can try to do things that you do, but it's never going to actually do what you do. So be ungovernable. Just, like, you know, don't fall into any, you know.
Well, it may modify what you're doing, but it won't be able to change it too much in terms of, that's what you're saying. In other words, where can it go with it?
It won't capture the spark that makes it interesting. It won't capture that spark that makes it you, you know?
Right.
And so, you know, I feel like if you're doing something that's honest to who you are, it's going to show, you know, and it's going to be real.
You make some good points there. I mentioned also that The Fun Intended is available on Amazon Music. Is it available in other outlets as well? And if you know what they are, please mention them.
Yes, it's available. It's streaming on, like, all the platforms, and it can be purchased at my Bandcamp, which is dadjokemusicforkids.bandcamp.com.
Okay. That's good to know. Say that one more time, because that's a long URL.
Sorry, yeah. It's dadjokemusicforkids.bandcamp.com. Yeah,
good. And you mentioned, and I introduced you as with the term dad joke. How did that start? Where did that come from? As opposed to Dave Remnick, which started legally when your parents gave birth to you.
Well, my mom will tell you it's David Remnick, most people call me Dave,
talked to your mom. You're right. She is supposed to be, but I said for purposes of this show and for your career, you're using Dave. So, okay. She understands now.
most people call me Dave. Yeah. So it's, okay. It actually, when I started the project, it was actually called Dr. Dave, the Music Doctor, which, you know, I thought was really funny. And considering I have a doctorate in music, it seemed like a funny kind of silly thing.
Well, it should be Dave, the Doctor of the Music PhD, probably would be. Well, go ahead.
That's even harder. Yeah. What I found was that, like, people couldn't remember it. People couldn't spell it. You know, was it, do I write out the word doctor? Do I write DR? Like, you know, how does that work? And so I was really attached to it not because I liked it so much, but because I was, like, afraid to change it. And then I realized, like, well, nobody really outside of my personal circle, nobody really knows it yet. So like, if I'm going to change it, I should change it now. And the idea Dad Joke came to me, and I was like, oh, that would be a really funny name for a group. And it turns out like it's not been really taken, yet. And I was like, this is great, and especially because like I am like very a dad. How do I put it? I tell a lot of dad jokes. I don't mean to, but like, you know, I see a lot of eye rolls, a lot of groans in my life when I make jokes. I mean, even the album title itself, Fun Intended, is a play on pun intended, sure. You know, which is itself, you know, so I just always making dad jokes. And so it just seemed like a really fun name. And, you know, it's weird that it's just me right now and it's called like a band name, but I hope to one day, be able to have a band that
well, are you looking at dad joke and the dad jokes you tell, are they typical of dad jokes from 30, 40, 50 years ago when people were like, in other words, they were really corny jokes when you get that kind of connotation, but you're a different generation. So are your dad jokes more hip, or are they pretty much the same as dad jokes have been through the centuries?
I mean, I think they're better. I don't know if I call them hip, but you know.
Wait a minute. If they're bad, give us an example, please. All right.
I will tell you my favorite joke, okay?
Yes, please. Yes.
What do you call a teacher who won't fart in front of their class?
A teacher that won't fart in front of their class. Okay, what do you call that?
A private tutor.
Okay. That is definitely pun intended.
You're supposed to be laughing right now because that was the greatest joke you've ever heard.
Internally, I am laughing, but I'm also I processed the pun, and that's where my mind went rather than the laugh. So what you saw is my mental processing of the joke, not the enjoyment of the joke. I love puns, so I enjoyed it, but it took me a second due to my lack of sleep to, okay, that's where it's going. Okay, private tutor.
It doesn't hurt my feelings you didn't laugh. It is a dad joke, you know.
Oh yeah, listen, I'm with you. I throw out a lot of awful jokes, and probably most people don't laugh at them. But I, as I am fond of saying, I throw things out there against the wall, and whatever sticks, and I just keep doing it. So I'm exactly in the corner on that. So that's fine. Well, getting back to the album, which I like, is a great title, Fun Intended. We talked about This Is a Duck. Why don't we play This Is a Duck, both for our listening and viewing audience, and then we'll come back and talk about it. So here we go.
This is a duck. This is a duck. This is a duck. This is a duck. This is also 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 a duck. This is 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 also 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 a duck. This is a goose, this is a goose, this is a goose, this is a goose, this is also 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 a goose, this is 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 also 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 a goose, and this is a turkey, 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 turkey.
Okay, that was nice and short. It's like a minute and a second, and very funny at the end. When you were putting this together, did you see it as initially from an audio standpoint, or did you see it as a visual as well? Or did one come before the other? Did the duck come before the song, or the song come before the duck, or did the visual come before the audio, or whatever I'm trying to ask you?
You know, so the music came first. And I mean, I it came from the game I played with my kid, and then the idea of doing the birds. I thought that, you know, I hadn't even necessarily realized I was going to make a video out of it. And so the idea for the song.
So wait a minute, in answer to my long question, your long answer still didn't answer it. So it was thought of it from an audio perspective first.
Yes. Okay. I see. I understand that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah. And you know, I don't know if you've heard my band Paper Mice, the like post-punk band, but like this song basically sounds like my band. In fact, the drummer on the track is the drummer from my band. He actually plays on drums across the album.
As a matter of fact, let's give a shout out to your backup people, because I know it wasn't just you on the album. So if you want to mention them, feel free.
Yeah. So, John Carroll, the drummer in Paper Mice, very close friend, plays drums across the album. Taylor Hales, my other bandmate who plays bass in my band, he's the producer of this album. My close friend Amanda DeBoer Bartlett, also a fantastic singer and songwriter. She She sings on several of the tracks. And my daughter's godfather, a close friend, basically family, Brant Hewlett, he plays one of the monsters on Wakey Wake Up. And then the artwork is by Rich Sparks.
And you might as well shout out the name of your photographer, too, because I noticed when I got your images. So,
Todd Rosenberg, wonderful photographer, awesome person, too.
Excellent.
Am I forgetting anybody? I hope not.
I hope not. Well, your mom and dad, but they already get it, so that's fine. I was thinking about that earlier. Paper Mice, where did the name come from? Did you guys sit around and go, okay, what can we come up with that has not been come up with before? And that is just unique enough.
No. My dog at the time were named after cartoon mice. And so like one of my dogs was named Quimby after Quimby the Mouse, which is a Chris Ware cartoon. And so we thought of that, the name Paper Mice would be a really funny name. And also because all of the songs in the band are about weird news stories. Like every single song is about like a weird, funny current event. And so like we imagine ourselves like little mice rooting through the papers. And so, you know, it was just a kind of an inside joke kind of thing.
Was it unanimously voted?
Oh yeah. Yeah. In that band, every decision was like, we had to, you know, from the songwriting, like they were all like unanimously decided things. We had to agree on everything. So yeah, it was unanimous.
Since you established, I didn't do it. You established that you're weird. So my question is, who did you look to for inspiration growing up in the weird category? Was it Weird Al Yankovic, or were there others in that realm that inspired you to be creative and artistic?
I was definitely a big Weird Al fan when I was a kid. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the inspiration was for that. You know, I think, I don't know how, I think, I know I was weird as a kid. I don't know how weird my musical tastes were as a kid. I think I just had like, I was just kind of an awkward, you know, a weird kid. but, you know, when I look back at my childhood, you know, some of the really influential figures, you know, like Mr. Rogers, I remember watching on TV was not encouraging me to be weird, but I felt very encouraged to be myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I look back on him, and like, I listened to him sing the song at the end of the episode, you know, you'll be back. I'll be back when the day is new, and I'll have more ideas for you. Like, it's just such a lovely sentiment he's going to have things he wants to share with us. He wants to hear what we have to say to him. It was just like it made you feel like a person, you know, like someone cared about what you had to say. And, you know, my parents cared what I had to say as well. But like, in terms of the art that I was taking in and like the entertainment, the culture that I was taking in, I thought that was a really beautiful notion. But also Weird Al was a huge part of my childhood. You know, like I don't make parodies now like he does. Although I sing them in my free time. I make up parodies in my free time, but I don't think I'm going to, that's not my career direction. My first concert that I ever went to, we went to see, my sister was really into the Monkees, and we went to see the Monkees at Jones Beach in Long Island. And my parents didn't tell me that Weird Al was opening up. And so, like the first thing I heard, the first concert I ever went to, it was Weird Al, and it was a surprise. And it was the loudest thing I'd ever heard. And I was very sound sensitive as a child, and I was just like holding my ears but then I got over it, and it was amazing. You know, a really awesome surprise. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's a little tip for you. And of course your daughter is, wear earplugs to concerts. It helps save your hearing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So, I asked you about where your band title came from, but I didn't ask you where the album title came from. In other words, where did you come up with Fun Intended? In other words, were you just thinking of one particular thing, or how did that work?
No, I was teaching a guitar lesson, and I have this one student. She's really, really funny and really fun to be around, just a lovely kid. And she was telling me about a cousin of hers, I think it was a cousin, who's always like mishearing things. And she said, you know, like, and she mentioned some examples. And one of the examples she said was Fun Intended. And I was like, oh no. Like, and I was like, that, I need to use that. That has to be the title of my album. Please, 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 can I use it? And she's like, yeah, of course. You know, like, whatever. Like, I was like, oh my God, I'm doing it. And so like, it was just like, she said it, and I was just like, that's the one. That's the thing. You know, I can't believe no one's ever, I'm sure someone said it before, but like, I looked it up as like album titles, and I've, you know, no one's used it before. And
oh, Chris, what you should have done, and you'll have to burn all your copies and reprint everything and just give her credit on the album.
Oh, yeah.
Coming up with the name. Okay, I'm sorry. I just like to stir up trouble when I can. But okay. Anyway, when you realized it was all done and you played it for your daughter, did she like every one, or was This Is a Duck was the favorite one of all of the group?
Of the, like on the album, you're saying?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. When you finished the album and you played it for your daughter, what was her favorite one? Was it This Is a Duck, or was there another one that was her favorite?
I don't know. Might be all around here. I don't know. I don't know if she has a favorite.
Okay. I didn't think it was such a surprising question. I figured she would say, yeah, I like this better than the other ones, you know. I thought maybe the AI one could be a second best one too.
I know she really likes that one. She was making a different, there's a book series called Wings of Fire that she really likes. And sometimes we'll sit down and read it, but we'll make every, basically almost every word the opposite of what it actually is. And we'll also mispronounce the characters' names on purpose. And we call it Feet of Ice, you know, like wings become feet and fire becomes ice. And so she was feet of icing that song in the car yesterday. And it was really funny. But also I should mention that she actually gets partial songwriting credit on I Hope Nobody Drops a Big Red Rubber Horse on My Head, because we kind of made up the melody to that together when we were walking our dogs one day. And then I transformed it into the song, and you know, she had a big part in that. So
before I let you go, what would you like people to take away from Fun Intended?
Oh man. There's so much, you know. Well, first of all, I feel very strongly that kids are that they're worth our time, that when we put everything that we can into what we make for them, then they get from that a message that they're worth putting that time into. You know, I think there's so much. I remember my daughter was looking at some stuff online that were these really like very cheaply made videos with very kind of cheaply made music. And she was just like watching it every day. And I was like, what message is she getting from this? She's getting this message that, like, you know, we're just going to dash off this thing and not put a lot of thought into it. And that's, and what do you get from that? What message does the kid receive? And so I really want kids to get the message that, like, you know, I put a lot of work and a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff into this album. And I'm hoping that comes through and that they feel a sense of, you know, respect, and a sense of respect for their intellect and for, you know, who they are. I also hope that they, you know, they enjoy the music and they laugh. Also, I think, you know, there's a lot of weirdness and just like things that are funny to me, you know, things that I like, the rubber horse thing. It's a bizarre idea for a song, but I don't think songs have to necessarily make sense for people to be able to get something out of them, for it to be enjoyable. And I feel like, you know, the more that you can just be yourself and do the thing that you want to do, the better that thing's going to be, because nobody else can do what you can do. You know, nobody else can be you. You know, people who can write more complicated music than you, or the people who can do this kind of thing, but nobody can do what it is that you do. And so, you know, for me, this is just me doing what I do. And I'm hoping that kids, you know, hear from it, that, you know, that they take from it, that they should be who they are and do what it is they like to do, you know, and if they want to be weird, be weird, you know?
Well, that's a great way to leave it. My guest has been Dave Remnick. He is Dad Joke, composer of Fun Intended, a debut album for kids and families. Fun Intended is available on Amazon Music and also all the streaming platforms. For everything about Dave, go to dadjokemusic.com, dadjokemusic.com. Or if you want to find out more about Dave's other pursuits, go to davidremnick.com, davidremnick.com. And Dave, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
You got it. And join us every Thursday for a new schmear on Ira's Everything Bagel.
I tried to use AI, but it came out weird. I didn't know what to expect, but I knew just what I wanted. So when it asked me, I responded, chickens on the phone. But look, I think it might be haunted. Isn't it weird? I tried to use AI. I asked it for a donkey. Waiting for the bus, I typed in my request, prepared to be impressed. But it was just weird. Then I asked it for a zebra, a gigantic purple zebra. And look where
what it gave me. It's weird, weird, it's weird, and it seems like it just keeps on getting weirder. So I asked it for a penguin, just a really simple penguin. And I thought of all the ways a human being might have drawn it. I even tried to make one of my own, but it was even worse than I feared. Completely, truly, absolutely weird. I asked it for a body, riding on a horse.
And then it showed me probably the single weirdest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
This wasn't what I had in mind. I mean, just look how they're combined. Now can somebody tell me why it has a knife? I'm afraid of the mutant bunny. Afraid what it could mean. Now that I tried to use AI, I'm understanding important to support creative people instead of a machine. I hope we'll work for a future where nobody has to compete with computers and people make music and art to express something real, explore and reveal what we are.